Solomon said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a hair of goats, flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." Now may the Lord add His blessing this morning to the reading of His Word. And I trust that you will pay attention this morning to what's said. Give God your heart and invite Him to do something for you today that only God can do. Folks, I'll tell you, we can find out where we're living and in the hour that we're living and what God is doing in us and with us through the hour that we're living. We'll get through this life much better. But if you can't find your place in God's purpose, you're going to be of all men most miserable. I'll assure you of that. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. Like Brother Wayne said in the Sunday school hour, he was talking about the Urim and the Thummim, and he said that God put all that together in the counsels of God very intricately, and we're all involved and intertwined in all that work of God. Somewhere we'll find our purpose through all the work of God. Let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for the privilege it's ours to be in the house of God. I'd ask You, Lord, to use me this morning. Bless me that I might be a blessing to Thy people. Help me, I pray, to glorify the Lord Jesus. Provide the liberty that I need, the help that I need. And use me, Lord, to be a blessing that I might magnify Christ in the presence of this congregation. Lord, that they might learn to rejoice in what's theirs in Thee. Have Your divine will and way. Open up Thy Word to us today, Lord, and reveal great and wonderful things out of Thy law. And we'll thank You for the liberty, for the souls that saved, for the revival that's given, for the help that we find in Christ. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Well, I got my glasses fixed and broke them again, so I'm back to the colored glasses. Amen. But our text this morning is found in verse number 3, where Solomon says there that thy lips are like the thread of scarlet. Amen. And thy speech is comely. Amen. And he goes on to mention the temples in that verse also. Now, God being my helper, I want to deal this morning with the lips of the church. And then, if we have time tonight, I want to deal with that temple within thy locks. But Solomon said here that the bride's lips were like those of a scarlet thread, like a thread of scarlet, her lips. Now, I want to preach for a little while this morning, and I've changed the title to my message since I got up here. But I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me, on the voice of the church. Amen. What the church has got to say. He likens our lips there to a thread of scarlet. Amen. And he said that the speech of the church is very comely. Solomon is describing the beauty that he sees in his bride. I'm talking about in reality. He has looked at her in her face, and he has seen the beauty of her eyes, and he's seen the beauty of her hair, and now he sees the beauty that is in her lips and her temples. And he reminds her that the lips that God has given her are like a thread of scarlet. Very thin in its substance and very colorful in its essence. It is not like just a thread, but it is like a thread of scarlet. And God gave her these lips of scarlet thread that she might use to bring honor and glory to Him. I want to say by way of introduction this morning that the church has got something to say in this world. Brother, God is not done with His bride. God is not done with the church in this world. It grieves me when we no longer possess the influence that we once had in the communities that we dwell in. And I say this in love and honesty. I mean, the capers that are being done by men, so-called men of God, have been enough to sour the stomachs of most of the heathen. I'll be honest with you, if I was a lost man in the world today, and all I had to get me to God was what I'm hearing from the church and what is coming out from the church, I'd probably continue living in the world and having me a good time down at the lake on Sunday. Because most church members have no more, my friend, than the lost heathen have. When you see preachers that have been called and sent, falling into sin, coming in off of the field, deserting their wives, deserting their families, what on heaven's name do we expect, my friend, for the heathen man and the lost man to think about the church? God has given us lips that are like a thread of scarlet, that it might be used as a voice in the society that you and I are living in today. Amen and amen. How many of you remember my promise out of Jeremiah chapter number 33? Where, oh yes, God is speaking to Jeremiah when they had got the people of God had been overran in Jerusalem. They had been carried off into Babylon. And the heathen said that's all she wrote for Jerusalem. I mean, she is a done thing. Her glory hath departed. I'm going to say that's what a lot of men are saying about the church. Her glory hath departed. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, Jeremiah said that there would yet be a voice of the bridegroom. Our Lord Jesus has yet to be heard in the land of the living. He said there'd yet be a voice of joy within the land. And He said there would be a voice of the bride. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus is not done with you and I. He's put something within our hearts that we might convey to Him and convey to one another and convey to those that are lost and done without God. And He's given us the lips that are like a scarlet thread that we might accomplish the work that God's called on you and I to do. God help us to separate ourselves unto God that we might be an influence on our lost family members and those around us that are lost and dying and going to hell, that they might see Christ living in you and I, and that the fruit of our lips, my friend, might be enough of the glorious light to get them to a saving knowledge of the Son of the living God. Yes, sir. He said, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. I won't say by introduction that the word thread is used in the Bible 7 times. It's all that it's ever mentioned in the Word of God. The first time that it's mentioned is in the book of Genesis and chapter number 14 and verse 23. Abraham has went out into the Valley of Salt, and he has recovered his nephew Lot and recovered all of the spoil that was taken by those kings out of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about. Well, when Abraham came back, he gave tithes unto Melchizedek. And then the king of Sodom said, now Abraham, what I want to do is give you whatever you want to have of this spoil. Abraham said, I would not even take from a shoe latchet to a piece of thread. He said, in other words, he said, the thread, I wouldn't even take the spoil of a thread. Denoting that thread within itself, my friend, is a very invaluable. It doesn't have one bit of value. It's weak. You can take a strand of thread and break it with your hand. It has no strength, no power, and no value. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, if you take a thread and put her in scarlet, bless your heart, you've got something that's not only strong, but it has a great deal of value. Because the scarlet, my friend, is a type of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He just said, that He's given us redeemed lips. Thank God we've got redeemed lips that we might use for the glory of God. He's given us redeemed lips that we might be an influence in the world for the glory of God. You know, it's also used in Judges chapter 14 or 16. Verses 9 and 12. And there Solomon is bound by Delilah with ropes. But when the Philistines come upon him, the Bible said that he broke the ropes just like a thread. Had no strength whatsoever. Had no strength against Solomon, Samson, and it had no value to Abraham. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that same little thread, that same little thread that was made scarlet was hanged out over the wall of Rahab the harlot, and it had enough strength in a piece of thread dipped in the blood. Son, it had enough strength to let two spies down to the wall. I'm simply saying, my friend, that the lips of the redeemed have got some strength to them. Oh, no, lost hell there. Sinner with a out of testimony have nothing on his lips to say that'll bring glory to God. That's why some testimonies in the church are weak and meaningless and void of God, is because there's no redemption in the bosom. But you take a man or a woman that's been saved by the grace of God, their lips are redeemed. Son, there is some strength. They got something to say about God. I'm going to say this too, and I don't care who hears me. Are you listening? That same thread that had enough power in it or strength to let two men down by a wall also had enough protective power that when Rahab hung it out over the wall, it protected an entire Gentile family. Oh, yes, sir. Rahab was saved when Jericho fell. Mom and Daddy Rahab was saved when Jericho fell. Sister and brother Rahab was saved when Jericho fell. In fact, every Gentile in Rahab's family was saved because of one little old scarlet thread. Bless your heart. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get wilder than a monkey. I'm going to tell you something, friend, that a scarlet thread, just one scarlet thread, has got enough protection in it to provide protection for the entire Gentile family of which you and I are a part of. Thank God for the scarlet thread of redemption, the blood of the Lord Jesus that has secured our protection. Are you listening? Now, I want to say that that scarlet thread represents redeemed lips. Amen. Huh? A redeemed soul with redeemed lips. You ever heard somebody get up and sing, or somebody get up and testify, or somebody get up and preach, and there just wasn't any ring in it? Amen. Didn't seem like, I'm talking about like a fellow over in Indiana. Hope he's listening. Mike Thurman's his name. Told him he wasn't called, and he's not called. There's no ring in his sand. He's got nobody at home. There's nothing there. But I'm telling you, my friend, God's given the redeemed lips that are likened unto a scarlet thread. Redeemed lips. Son, the church, God gave you your lips to use to bring glory to Him, to magnify Him, and to get the work of God done right here on this earth. For God's sake, get your lips open, let your tongue flap for the glory of God. Most Baptists let their tongue flap for the wrong thing. Huh? Some men, you talk to them, they can't mention two sentences without coming with money coming up. That's all they got on their minds, money. Others has got, they can't talk. Can't hold a conversation without for 2 seconds without deer hunting coming up, or pocket knifing coming up, or fishing coming up. Always something worldly coming up. I'm here to tell you, my friend, if our tongue is attached, bless your heart, to a redeemed heart, that redeemed heart where the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, it'll send forth word to our tongue. Our tongue will notify our lips, and our lips will speak with redemptive value to the glory of God. Now, the voice of the church. Let me ask you something. Anybody heard your voice lately? Let me ask you, first of all, has God heard your voice? Has God heard you say anything lately? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a voice of prayer. How long has it been since you really prayed? Now, I'm going to tell you what the king said. The king in the book of Psalm chapter 21, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. When was the last time you went to God and made some requests with your lips? What I'm simply saying, my friend, we have got lips of redemption. Scarlet threaded lips. When was the last time you took your saved lips, hallelujah to God, and went before the throne of God's grace, and there opened up your heart to God, poured out your soul to the Lord Jesus, and let the God of heaven know that there's something in your heart that you got to get done in your life for Him that will bring glory to Him and blessing to your life? I'm simply saying we have not because we ask not. Huh? The voice of prayer. He said, I'll give you the request of your lips. In other words, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. I'm going to tell you, we have, folks, it's like Brother Allen said, and he is right when he said it. He said, when God saved you, He made a deposit in your name in the bank of heaven. He deposited in the bank of heaven everything that you'll need in your Christian experience to make it from where you were saved to the time you reach heaven's shore. Son, may God help us not to wind up in heaven with anything at all left in our bank account. Oh, no, sir. What God has given us, let us dispose of it with God. And He's given us a privilege to pray. Oh, my God, let us open up our voice and cry aloud. Lift up our voices to God. And may God hear our redeemed lips making requests with God that He might provide for us such things as we stand in need of. I'm going to tell you why most people don't. They don't seem to need anything. I'm going to tell you why they don't. We're living in a Laodicean church age that has the idea that we're rich. And notice this word, I'd never thought of it before. And increased. Didn't start out to where we are, but we got her along the way. I'm going to tell you what God gave me on that, and I believe I'm right on it. He said we're rich and increased. Most of you in here, bless your little cotton picking, pea picking hearts. If you'd just get right honest with God, when God found you, you were floundering in sin. Yes, sir. And some of you, maybe not all of you, but you were living in absolute poverty. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I'm not preaching a health and a wealth salvation, but I am telling you that when God found me, I had very little of this world's goods, my friend. I was living in absolute poverty. Poverty. Oh, I had a little furniture store, but it wasn't making enough hardly to live by. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But since God found me, I have become increased with goods. God has blessed me, my friend, and increased me. And may God help me not to be like the Jews were. You remember in Deuteronomy 6, when God brought them into the land, He said, when you get into the land, don't forget your God that brought you here. And I'm going to tell you what's happened to us. Son, God blessed us. God prospered us. We got a little money in the bank. And we have forgotten the God that saved us because we're increased with goods. And claim that we have need of nothing. What was the last request you made? He can help you with that baby, Kelly. Brother Steve, he can help you with a job. He can help you get in that house, Brother Mark. Have you asked him to do that for you? I believe he's going to give Ben and Angie a baby some of these days. Somebody said, oh, God, what? Don't tell me what God won't do. Ask. He said he has not withheld the request of his lips. Redeemed lips. Saved lips. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, where would we get all these things? Hey, he has blessed us with all. So I'd circle that word, A-L-L. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every one of them. And son, I'm not a health and wealther, but I'm telling you, we're living in spiritual poverty and living in financial bankruptcy today in the house of God because we don't ask.
Amen.
Now, don't leave me now. I'm talking about the voice of the church. These scarlet lips of redemption is heard in prayer. You know what he said in Philippians 4:6? He said, be careful for nothing.
Amen.
You know, hey, don't just sit around thinking you've got to have everything.
Right.
Somebody turn the air on. Turn the air on, Brother Jerry, your brother Wayne, some of you men. Said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer.
Amen.
By prayer. And supplication with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let your request be known unto God.
Amen.
When was the last time with your lips
right.
you made your request known to God? And son, while you was making them known, you thanked Him before He ever provided what you were praying for. That's what that verse of Scripture says. Son, we need to learn. Hey, that's right. Learn to thank God for things before you get them.
Amen,
amen to God. Start to, hey, that's right, folks. I'm here to tell you if we'd ever learn to be thankful and to give God the praise and the glory and the honor for what God, we had found out that He had increased us and enrich us with spiritual blessings, God would meet us in this church and supply every need that we may have, whether it's physical, financial, amen to God, spiritual, whatever it might be. We've got a God who is able to do abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think. Ask or think. Ask or think. When was the last time you asked? I'm talking about the voice of the church in her lips of God. Then Philippians 1:4. He said, always in every prayer of mine, Paul's talking about these Philippians, for you all making request with joy.
Amen.
When was the last time you asked God for something with a little joy?
Amen.
I mean, got right tickled about it. I got happy over when I was a preaching Maul Doctor's funeral. I was over at Cater now, and they're just giggling and laughing. I looked out at the rest of that crowd, and some of them's face looked like Missouri mules. Chewing on saw bars. Basket cases, son. When was the last time you ever really prayed and asked God something with a little joy in your heart?
Amen.
A little happiness in there. Thanksgiving and joy. Making your requests known unto God. Oh, I'm talking about the voice of your lips letting God hear something. Somebody said, I'm a silent prayer. Ain't no such animal.
Amen.
Now, you might pray in your heart like Hannah did. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't pray in your heart every time you pray. This stuff, well, we're out in public, and I'm just not going to pray aloud. I don't want nobody to hear what I'm saying. What you're telling me, you know what you're telling me? I'm not going to pray out in public because I don't have anything to say. I don't have enough to say. I don't have any prayers to ask. There's not a thing on my heart to petition God for. May God help. Oh, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be like the Pharisees. Don't worry, some of you in here ain't no ways near there yet.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We ain't done yet. We just started. What are you going to ask for? May I suggest some things? Solomon asked for wisdom. When God made him ruler over His people, Solomon in 1 Kings 3:9 said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between both good and evil. I'm going to tell you the reason Baptist folk can't discern what's right and what's wrong. They don't have a lick of wisdom about them.
Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hope, I'm just not one that's wise." Then why don't you ask? If any man lack wisdom, let him do what? For sure, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. When was the last time you asked God for a little wisdom that you might discern between good and evil? Between what is right and what is wrong. May God help us. But that's right. To know the difference. Some folks just don't know the difference. I'm not being critical, but they're ignorant. They are ignorant. May God help us today. That's right. That's why folks, hey, they don't know. That's why some folks don't know how to dress. I've seen preachers get up and preach about women wearing bullfighting breeches. Now, I'm not telling you something I've heard. I'm telling you something I've seen with my eyes. I've seen them get up and preach about women wearing bullfighting breeches and how they ought to dress, and them come out in the morning in a pair of jogging breeches that looks like they have been melted and run down in the egg-sucking things. And all their private parts hanging out. Are you listening to me, son? Tell me that ain't vulgar. Where's the problem, preacher? Somebody don't have enough wisdom, my friend, to discern what is good and evil or what is right and what's wrong in their life. God, help us. That's why some of you can't throw the television out. You don't see any harm in it. No evil. No wisdom. May I say that Elijah asked for water. That's right, in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Elijah told his servant. He prayed. Fell on his face on Mount Carmel and prayed. When he got lifted up, he told his servant, said, "Go look." He went and said, "There ain't a thing." He said, "Go look seven more times." And the last time he said, "I see a little cloud kind of like a man's hand." And Elijah said, "You go tell Ahab to get down that the rain don't catch up with it. Because Sunday's rain is coming in the land." I'm going to tell you why we don't have revival. Son, we ain't a praying for revival. We talk about it, but we don't really want it. Us men, I tried praying on Sunday nights, and us men come in here, and some of them wouldn't pray 5 minutes, it'd be done. 10 minutes, and we do not know how to agonize with God. Oh, we do not know how to pray and agonize with God until our hearts are melted and broken and tears run down our cheeks, my friend, like floods, and the joy bells of heaven ring our soul, knowing that whatsoever things we pray and ask for, that God's going to give it to us. When was the last time you prayed for some water? Revival. Huh? I'm going to tell you what Paul prayed for. Paul prayed and asked God to let him be a witness. He said in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." When was the last time you prayed and asked God to let you be a witness? Huh? I mean, get your life in order where God, where others can see Christ living in you enough to be a witness to them. Oh, my God. He said, "You're the salt of the earth." Now, God told me something about that salt of the earth. I want you to get this, buddy. Now, you hear me well. He said, "You're the salt of the earth." Do you know, do you realize that there's things in this earth called salt licks? The old settlers in the olden days used to gather by a salt lick if they found. In fact, there's one right down by a little spring where they buried my mother. Under the ground, in the ground, all around that that vein of water in that spring is a salt lick. Now somebody said, "Well, preacher, what about that? What do you mean about it?" Well, humans and settlers would come and they would find a place and begin to dwell and build a city around that salt block. It also drew the animals. They had to have salt. Those animals would come around that salt lick and lick that salt. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." Now, I'm going to tell you, if we'll get our hearts right, are you hearing what I'm saying, buddy? If we'll get our hearts right, be salt in this earth for God, there'll be some folks come down to this salt lick. Amen. that they too might have a little bit of salt in them.
Amen.
From the salt lick. I'm talking about, bless God, getting right with God. Quit a playing church and a trying to link up with the world at the same time. Get right that we might be salt in the earth and light in the world and set your light on a candlestick, which is the church. Paul said, let me be a witness. I'm going to tell you what, folks. How many have we really influenced? How many have we been a salt block to? Every one of you in here has got lost family members.
Amen.
Living right in your area. When was the last time you went and told them about God? You said, oh, they got mad and run me off. Well, praise God.
Amen.
The Bible said, when they do that, rejoice exceedingly.
Amen.
Be exceedingly glad. Go back to them again.
Amen.
You know what a fella done down at Brother Allen's camp? The little short, stocky fella run up Tuesday down at Brother Allen's camp, run up to him on the platform of church and spit in his face. Brother Allen just wiped it off. And got right back on the platform on the next service and went right on serving God. I'm going to tell you what our problem is today, Buddy Reason. We don't want to be a witness to people. Because we're afraid of what they'll throw in our teeth. They're afraid of what they'll say about us. We're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We ain't a bit more salty, bless God, than the man in the moon. We've lost it. I want everybody to look right up here. We couldn't make nobody mad. Do you know that when old J. Frank Norris pastored down in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, I'm talking about back in the 50s, maybe the 60s, they had the liquor issue down there like we had here, and son J. Frank Norris stood against it, and the mayor of the city turned against him and hired men to kill him. J. Frank Norris killed a man to keep from being killed right in his own office. And that mayor that had all that done had his whore prostitute in his automobile one day, was driving down the street and had a chauffeur driving him, and a train was coming. I'm going to tell you why we've lost our salt. People think you're nuts. J. Frank Norris told that chauffeur, said, I want you to beat that train. Beat it. And the man tried to beat it and couldn't beat it, and the train broadsided him, hit him right in the side and broadsided him. It killed the prostitute. It killed the mayor. The chauffeur never got a scratch on it. They called J. Frank Norris to the scene and said, the mayor of the city's been killed in a train wreck. Maybe you'd want to come out here. Are you listening to me? J. Frank Norris got looking around that. I'm telling you something that's documented. Looking around that train wreck and found a bottle of liquor broken open and part of the mayor's brains laying in the bottle of alcohol that he was trying to bring into the city. Somebody said, well, what did he do? I'm going to tell you what he done with it. He brought her to church on Sunday morning, set the bottle of liquor with the brain in it on the pulpit of the church, and preached on the wages of sin is death. I'm going to tell you why we're not salt, buddy. Bless God, we don't have enough grit in our craw. We don't have enough teeth to bite. We've lost our influence. We're scared to death of society and the government and everybody else, and we have lost our influence in the world. And if the preacher was to set somebody's brains on the pulpit, he'd be, oh, he's grotesque cute. If a flip, bless God, what they say about me? I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with everything Phil Kidd says. But you have to give him credit for one thing. He ain't a backing down from none of them. I like that. That's right. Ask to be a witness. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to tell others what Christ is to us. He's our witness. He's our wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. We ought to be able to tell people that.
Amen.
We ought to be a witness and tell folks what He's done for us. Saved us out of death and hell and delivered us from sin.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be a witness and be able to speak of the glories of Christ. Don't y'all leave me now. I ain't got much voice, but bless God, I'm going to preach till I drop.
Amen.
You can hear me good enough. The mail's getting put in the mailbox. That's all makes any difference. Huh? You come to see a sideshow anyway, you come for the wrong reason.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what most Baptists go to camp meetings for. They want a sideshow. They want to pump her up and work her up, and if they can ring her out with somebody on their feet of shouting, son, they have had a great camp meeting. I'm going to tell you what, they can ring her out with a shout, but if they ain't the house of God in the place, I am not getting on my feet with them.
Amen.
I'll shout at the drop of a hanky and drop the hanky.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to pump it and prime it and beg it and go on with a bunch of junk. Now, I'm going to tell you what it does. We have set an image in some of our churches and camp meetings. We've got an image that we shout, and we're going to shout. If it deifies God, we'll shout.
Amen.
People sitting in pews lost and wicked are in hell, and women with slits up their hind ends and their rumps are hanging out. Enough makeup on, bless God, they look like Madonna.
Amen.
Sitting on the back pews, little old boys with their arms around girls and hands up them under their dress and rammed down in their blouse tops of their blouses, and men up there wanting to get people to shout, God have mercy. I'm going to tell you what I'd like to do.
Amen.
Walk back in the back of some of them. I'm going to tell you, in October, I see some of them with a hand up a girl's dress. I'm going to beat the living snot of you and like it, lump it, hump it, bump it. I'm going to kick somebody in the hind end, son.
Amen.
I ain't putting up that mess. Somebody get up there, oh, stand up and shout. Let's shout. Let's shout, God, help!
Amen.
Folks are going to hell, and we have lost any influence. And son, all influence is not just lovey-dovey, little lovey-dovey.
Amen.
Them that sin, rebuke before all,
amen,
that others may learn to fear God.
Amen.
What the Bible says. And I said, preacher, go on. I'm glad you said it ain't going to get much better. Lips like a thread of scarlet.
Amen.
That we might call on God and make our request known. Now, here's where I'm going to lose some of you. What about lips of praise? Oh, my God. When was the last time you used your lips to pray? I'm talking about really praise God.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, preacher, I don't go in for all that shouting. Well, necessarily talking about shouting. You know what Brother David said? David said in Psalm 27:6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle the sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto my God. They asked you something, neighbor. When was the last time you really sang praises unto your God? I'm talking about coming to church and singing. Somebody said, oh, I like to go out and sit in the lawn chair. I know a lot of them do. They can wear their Bermuda shorts and drink their liquor and listen to the quartets. But son, I like to come to the house of God and lift her up in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in my heart unto the Lord. Huh? When was the last time you sing praises to Him?
Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I need Thee every hour.
Yes.
Oh, there's victory in Jesus and amazing grace that saved a wretch like me.
Yes.
Son, hey, praising God, my friend, is not, oh, it is just not shouting and giving a sound that doesn't have any distinction to it.
Amen.
But praising God has got a distinct sound that is made with the fruit of our lips which we sing unto God. And look here, singing for two reasons, and David mentioned them. He said, I've won the victory over my enemies. We sing the praises of God, number one, to celebrate. And number two, because we've been triumphant. Can you not celebrate a little bit? Can you not celebrate a little bit?
Amen.
Take our kids to a bunch of stupid Wednesday night Little League ball games. Learn them to play T-ball. Put Mark McGuire pennants and T-shirts in the walls and the closets. Teach them about Air Jordan, how wonderful he is. And oh, and they'll get up and just praise all that mess with their lips. Mom and Dad don't have any problem teaching them that. When's the last time you taught your kids that when you come to church, you're to sing?
Amen.
We come to sing!
Amen.
Amen.
bunch of tight-lipped, stiff-necked. Come on now.
Amen.
Brother John Fletcher would say, come on now.
Amen.
We are to sing His praises.
Amen.
I want to say we are to show His praises.
Amen.
You listen to what the song, what He said in the book of Psalms. He said, but ye are a chosen, in the book of Peter. He said, ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
A holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know what the word show there means? Show forth His praises in Christian virtue and character.
Amen.
You see, folks, we not only sing praises to God with our lips. If lip service is all we got, we ain't got much. And I'm telling you, when we put something on our lips, we better have a life behind it to back it up. We are to show forth His praises. How do we show it? Hey, if He has delivered us and saved us and brought us out of sin and purified us and made us holy and peculiar and zealous, we ought to be able to show those praises to other people. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah to God. We're supposed to back up with our life what we say we got with our lips. Young man that fell into sin that I was telling you about a while ago, I seen him at Sturgis, and they had a flower pot that had live flowers, and he just chewed and eat on real flowers. And boy, just chewing. Praise God, spiritual. Jumped up on the pews and run the pews on the right-hand side from all the way from the front to the back. Stood right there in the pulpit and criticized me because I had a necktie on that had flowers on it. Giants, spiritual giants, boy. But they ain't so spiritual, they can't keep their eyes off the opposite sex and fall into lust and sin, buddy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Bless God, that is enough to cripple a society. It's no wonder churches have no influence. No confidence. Brother Messick told me that there's a man in his church, or was in his church, over in Alberta. He said, that man alone is a transplant from North Carolina up there and been in the church for years. And Miss Sharon said, that man had seen 20-some missionaries come and go. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't putting my hand on a bunch of little young punks no more. Forget it, son. I'm done with it. I ain't supporting none of them either. I'm going to support people. I want somebody, bless your heart. Somebody said, you ain't a preacher. No, I may be a preacher a little bit more than you think. Bless God, we need to support men whose lives are going to be lived to radiate the grace of God that delivered them out of the sin that they were living in. God, help us. Show forth His praises. Cry loud, spare not, lift up your voices like a trumpet and show. It ain't enough just to tell them, son. Show them something.
Amen.
Show them their sin with the life that we live before them. Quit you like men. Be strong. Put on all the armor of God. You may be able to stand against the willies of the devil. That's right. I don't know if you're getting anything, but I'm enjoying trying to tell you. Now get this now. And this is going to throw some of you off. We ought to be still praising Him. Somebody said, preacher, what? I'm just telling you what the book says in Psalm 84:4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Somebody said, you see that, preacher? We just don't have to open our mouth and praise Him. You done? That's where you need a good, strong concordance. You know what the word still means in the Strong's? Don't leave me now. It means to repeatedly. It means more. It means all life long.
Amen.
When we're still praising Him, you ever heard anybody say, preacher, where are you pastor now? Well, I'm still at Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'm just there. I'm still there.
Right.
I've been there. I'm still there.
Okay.
What the psalmist is saying, that we ought to repeatedly praise Him. Son, I'm here to tell folks, I wish you God, some of y'all could get a hold of that. We are 10 billion trillion years behind.
Amen.
Praising the darling Lamb of God for what, where He has brought us out of.
Yes.
And look here. What the psalmist is saying is, we're going to praise Him throughout all eternity. And if you don't feel right praising Him now, you ain't going to be in eternity to praise Him.
Amen.
Doug, I know where I was when God found me, buddy.
Amen.
I know how wicked and ungodly that I was right there in that heart. And I know where my life, I'm not talking about my spiritual life, I'm talking about my life upon this earth, where it was headed when God found me,
right,
son, and what He brought me out of.
Amen.
Why can't we praise Him for that?
Amen.
Why do we just have to be pumped? Yes! 365 feet
Amen.
Down in darkness.
Amen.
Somebody feel like just standing up right quick and telling us where He brought you from? Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen!
Somebody else? That'd give me Baptist goosebumps.
Oh, thank God.
I knew you would, Jerome. Somebody else want to thank God? Real quick, your heart's right tender and you want to thank God. Kelly.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to be a little thankful right quick?
Yes,
amen. Amen. Anybody else? Be still praising Him. Don't ever stop.
Amen.
Just thank Him.
Amen.
That's right, Karen.
Amen.
That is right.
Amen.
Somebody else wants to thank Him. I got one more point. I'm done. We're going to eat. Honey? Yes, sweetheart.
Amen,
now. Amen, honey.
Amen.
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 Amen. Don't hold on to a profession. Hey, forget your profession. I'm going to tell you what. I tell you I got saved September 13, 1970, but I'm not holding on to that day. I got Jesus, man. I don't need a day.
Amen. That's right.
Are you listening to me? You don't need a day. You need Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah to God. Have you got Him right now? It's not a question, did you get Him back then? Have you got Him right now?
Amen.
We got Him right. Hey, we got Him right now. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification,
Amen.
Our joy. And the reason we don't have much joy to praise Him is because we don't have a whole lot of God on us. Need more God. I got one more point. You're never going to guess what it is. The voice of prayer. The voice of praise.
Amen. Amen.
Who is that I hear? Listen. Do y'all hear anything? It's the voice
Amen.
Of one crying in the wilderness.
Amen. Yeah.
prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist come out preaching repentance. The Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now I'm going to tell you, if you think preachers preaching against pants on women and they're cropping off their hair and men running around showing their bellies and Bermuda shorts, if you think that just started in our generation, honey, you've got to go way back to Noah to get that. He's a preacher of righteousness. Now I'm going to tell you what our Lord preached. He preached reconciliation. A fellow came to him one night by the name of Nicodemus and sat on the side of him and said, "Now," he said, "Master," he said, "I know that you're a teacher come from God, because no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That fellow said, "How? How can these things be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born with old?" Jesus said, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I'm going to tell you what, you can't even see it until you get saved. You can't see it. And you're sure if you can't see it, you can't get in it. That's how can right. you get in something you can't see? Because if you can't see it, you don't even know where it's at.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you where Jesus said it was at. He said, "It's in you."
Right. Amen, preacher.
Is it in you today?
Amen.
Have you repented? Are you righteous? Have you been reconciled to God?
Right.
Friend, if you're lost, you are an enemy of God. Are you hearing Amen. Me? You're an enemy of God. He's given us lips, a scarlet thread. Now, I'll say this. I could have said this and I slipped my mind. But lips, the thread is very thin. Not necessarily talking about lips that have to be thin, but the type is there. The lips are thin, and especially when we give praises, we don't never give too much praise to us.
Right.
Give it to Him.
Amen.
How about you today? Are you really saved by the good grace of God? Know that you've been to Calvary? And if you are you giving Him praise? Are you praying? By the way, the website on Saturday night, we had 80 people visited on Saturday night.
Amen.
That's the most it's ever been on it in one night. I had a number of people, Brother Allen. We've got a voice, church. For crying out loud, let's get behind the voice
Amen.
Of the church in our prayers, in our praises, in our preaching. And sound out the Word of God like they did in Macedonia. Sound out the Word of God. Let her send her out from this place, buddy. Missionaries and preachers and the station. Are you have redeemed lips? Let's stand together. Brother Steve, if you'd come lead us in the invitation, help me if you would, please. I'd appreciate it. Father, thank you for your help this morning. I thank you, Lord, for being good to me, for redeeming my unworthy soul from depravity and sin. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God and to preach. I do ask you to take the words from my feeble lips, but redeemed lips, Lord. Lips that are like thread of scarlet. And I pray you'll use it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, save souls. Help your people.